The Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 24, First Time Again Review.
Welcome to The Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts, Brian and Ruthie.
Hey, survivors, welcome back to the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Ruthie.
And I'm Brian.
And we are here today to talk about the season six first episode, First Time Again. Speaking of firsts, this episode was written by Scott M. Gimple and Matthew, is it Negrete? I don't know.
I am waiting for someone from the show to actually say his name. I don't know. I've been saying Negrete.
Yeah, I don't know. I heard somebody else, I think, say Negrete, so I have no idea. Anyway.
And I've heard Negrete, or something.
Interesting. Anyway, it was directed by Greg Nicotero, and I saw, before we go too much further, I just want to say I thought it was hilarious that I saw this one article. I can't remember the website. They were reporting on something from Comic-Con, and they kept saying Scott Gimble, like G-I-M-B-L-E. Oh, yeah. And I was like, what the heck is going on? You guys don't even know who you're talking about.
Okay. Well, anyway, there may be some of you that have not listened to us since the season finale from back in April. So you may have noticed that we have a new intro. So what do you think of the new intro? And for that matter, some of you that have been listening to, now technically they're two different podcasts, but they've been on the same feed, the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. We've had this new welcome. It's not me. I don't know who is actually doing it, but anyway, I like it. I think it's better than what we had before. So,
and he says, here's your hosts.
Oh, yeah.
And that drives me crazy. I try to ignore it, but
Ruthie silently corrects his grammar.
Every time.
Anyway, so ratings. I am somewhat disheartened, but at the same time, it's expected, I think. I think a lot of it has to do with some ratings erosion due to the fact that Fear the Walking Dead kind of satisfied some of that 6-month-long wait for The Walking Dead. So ratings were down, unfortunately. In fact, they were down. The season 4 and season 5 premieres had better ratings than season 6. So it was not so great, but still, it conquered everything on TV. So I guess I shouldn't complain too much. 7.43 in the 18 to 49 and a total in the first airing of 14.633 million. And over the first three airings, it was 17.951 million. And of course, later on this week, there'll be Live Plus 3. I'm sure we'll be way over 20 million at that point. Talking Dead did a 2.9 in the 18 to 49 with 5.662 million. And that's pretty good. I think it's a little lower than it had been doing, but still, it's pretty good for that show, considering how cheap it is for AMC. So some news. I just have Talking Dead news, actually, speaking of Talking Dead. Talking Dead, if you're not in North America, you may have noticed that Talking Dead is now available, at least in several countries, maybe not your country, but several countries it's now available and shown, I think, after The Walking Dead, like it is in Canada and the US. And they also announced during Talking Dead this week that they will be doing Fear the Walking Dead, and they had only done it for the season finale. So that's kind of cool.
I think that'll enhance the show.
Okay. So ratings. it has been declared that I will do ratings every time this season. It's probably because Ruthie is deciding her rating until the very last second.
Oh, no, I've already picked out my rating.
I know that, but the audience doesn't need to know.
Oh, okay. You just want me to.
Oh, I'm just crazy. Kidding.
That's fine.
Anyway.
I am crazy like a fox.
I give it 9.4 zombie Pied Pipers. I'll show you zombie Pied Pipers. And of course, what I'm referring to is the season finale of Fear the Walking Dead, where Daniel led 2,000 walkers to the medical or whatever the, what did they call that compound?
I don't know. It was a college. I thought like a community college or whatever.
Well, the Walking Dead surely showed them up, didn't they?
Yep.
Thousands upon thousands of, you know, it was almost like looking at a concert, which gives me my other possibility of calling it 9.4 Grateful Undead Concert. It's Grateful Dead. You get it?
I do. I get it. Grateful Dead.
Grateful Undead.
Uh-huh. There you go. Oh, that's so funny. Okay. Well, I knew right away that I wanted to give this a 9.5, but I kind of went through a number of different possible things to give it, I guess. And at first I was leaning towards 9.5 shovels, but then I decided it would be 9.5 cars following road safety rules.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Following road safety rules.
Hey, it's never...
Driver's Ed?
It's never too late to follow the rules of the road. I just want everybody to know out there. Even if there's a zombie apocalypse, you should always, always follow the rules of the road. I'm just saying.
Well, that's a good one. We got some other ratings on Facebook. Malika, she rated it an 8.5 mullets or peanut butter protein bars.
That's funny. Okay, Robert gave it 7.5 black and white flashback cutaways.
Judy gave it 9.25 quarterback Ricks.
That's funny. Dieta gave it 9 out of 10 ninja moves this episode.
And Sophie gave it 9 out of 10 skin flapping torsos.
That is funny.
Okay. And now it is time for... Yes, if you haven't been listening to us over the summer, I have got a mixer and I'm mixer happy.
That's right.
So, yeah. Actually, one of the reviews suggested, can you have some of this stuff? Well, we got it in spades now. So be careful what you ask for.
That's right. Careful what you wish for. You might just get it.
Okay, well, my first awesome sauce is probably something both of us can agree on. It certainly sets a zombie record how many they showed on screen. Apparently, there were at one point a thousand, or actually they used 1,000 walkers during the recording of the episode or filming, I should say. And apparently, like up to 300 at a time. And who knows how many they did in CGI. I mean, I heard something that there were 30,000, according to Nicotero. That's a lot.
Yeah, that is quite a bit. It's a pretty massive herd. Yeah. I don't know exactly. I mean, I was looking for pictures, really, honestly. And I was also looking for a particular phrase I couldn't find. And as I was looking through this, it seems like everybody said, or everyone quoted, I think it was Scott M. Gimple, or Gimble, depending on which website you were looking at, that said there were 654 zombie extras. I mean, people who were reporting about Comic-Con said that he said that. And then on Talking Dead, he said close to 1,000. And I was like, well, which one is right? Is it 654 or are you saying 654 is close to 1,000? Which is true in the one sense that it's closer than one, but I don't mm-hmm. know. But anyway, okay. my first awesome sauce, I think, was when Eugene and Heath were interacting, and Eugene made a comment about Heath's hair, and instead of saying anything, he just looked at him and then turned around and walked away. And I was like, that's so awesome. He's like, what do you say to that? Nothing. You just turn around and leave. And that's exactly what Eugene did. Or not Eugene.
He said something about appreciating the hair game.
Yeah. He said, we got that in common. Appreciate the hair game. And Heath is like, I don't know what you're talking about, crazy. But anyway, it was funny.
Josh McDermott, who plays Eugene, he was really good in this episode.
Yes, he did have a lot of killer lines.
Definitely. Yeah. In fact, I just mentioned in general, my awesome sauce was all the humor in this episode. You know, I mean, it was a pretty serious episode, what was going on, but there was a lot of humor. You know, you had Eugene and Tara in recovery. says, thank goodness your hair didn't get chopped off or so. I forget how she said it.
You didn't lose your hair.
The stuff at the gate, Michonne and Morgan over the peanut butter bars. That was so funny. I did not expect that.
Yeah, that was funny.
Nice little season one moment when Glenn referred to delivering pizzas. I don't think he's ever mentioned that since season one. It was kind of interesting to hear that.
Yeah.
Eugene's hello.
Yeah.
He gets discovered. You know, he's about to have a gun pointed on him.
He's a bumbling idiot.
And he says, hello.
I know. Hello.
And I don't know how humorous it was, but anyone who has been listening to us knows about Gabriel and how we don't like Gabriel, especially me. So I took great pleasure and laughter when Gabriel kind of said, I'd like to help. And Rick's response, no. Anyone else?
No. Who else?
Yeah.
I know. That was amazing. I really enjoyed that one myself. I thought it was funny. I laughed out loud. I was like,
yeah, because if I was Rick,
I would do exactly the same thing. No hesitation. Just straight out. Nope. Next. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah. You had some humor too, you mentioned?
Yeah, I added in one little bit of humor. You got most of the ones that I noticed anyway. But then there was that one where they are, going to clear out that building of walkers that are making all that ruckus and stuff because it'll distract the ones on the road and basically disrupt their carefully laid plans. And so it's when Nicholas opens up the door and he literally opens the door and braces himself, but nothing happens. I was like, that is comic genius. Like, you're expecting the hit, but then nothing. And it's like, there's this one of those steel, garage door pull down doohickeys or whatever in front of the door. It was funny. Anyway, it was funny. Mm-hmm. It was funny, people. Okay. It was funny. Okay, so my next awesome sauce is when the walkers were running into the wall with such force that they bashed their own heads in. I thought that was hilariously awesome.
So did I. Yes, we both had that as an awesome sauce moment. So, in general, the most awesome part was that, I will say, I loved Fear the Walking Dead. I think the jury's still out on it. I marked most of the episodes high. Need to reinvestigate that, see how high it'll end up. But coming back to this, man, I missed The Walking Dead so much. And for that matter, it is Fear the Walking Dead. I'm sorry, but you have some work to do to catch up to your bigger brother. It's just so, so good to have this back. And it was so, so awesome, just in general.
Yes. So awesome. It was awesome sauce.
Yep.
Okay. I also had a lot of awesome sauce, so I will carry on with my next one. I really, really liked it. I thought it was totally awesome hearing Nick admit his own stupidity.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm dumb. I don't know what I'm doing. I was like, that is so awesome that you recognize that. Just warms the heart.
Yeah, it was actually good to to hear.
Yeah, he said, I think he was talking to Heath or something. He knows what he's doing. I don't know anything. Or me and, what did he say? Me and whatever his name was, we didn't know. I was like, yeah, you didn't.
Yeah. Anyway, is that all the awesome sauce you have?
No, actually, I have more.
She has more. But wait, there's more. But
wait, there's more. Okay, so you remember my rating, right? Well, it was about having the hazard lights on, really? Driving with your hazard lights on?
I was thinking of that too, actually. It's like, will that actually attract walkers?
I don't know that it will have any impact whatsoever. However, like I said,
you use whatever you got.
It's always important to obey the rules of the road.
That much is for sure.
There's never a time to ignore road safety. Okay. Even in the zombie apocalypse, we have to have our road safety. Okay. I guess I'll just carry on with my next one.
Carry on.
Okay. So I thought it was kind of hilariously awesome how every single time that Rick has to go and off someone that seems like it's just in cold blood, he looks up and Morgan is there. Okay, so it's only been twice, but still, that was funny. It's like, he's like, man, I'm going to just, and then, oh, hello.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of noticed that too. And of course, Michonne was there.
She was there the second time. I think, yeah. I don't know if she was there the first time necessarily, but.
Yeah, she was there, but, and she was kind of like eavesdropping throughout the episode. Every time those two seemed to be together, she was like listening in on them. It seemed. Do you have anything else?
Nope. I am fresh out of awesome sauce.
Well, that was lots.
I know.
So that ends our awesome sauce moments. Awesome sauce!
Just in case you forgot what it sounds
like. Yes. So now it's time to discuss. And I'm going to say, since I mentioned this in the preview and Fear the Walking Dead talk through, no tears were shed by me during this episode. I was going on and on about it. I'm like listening to myself on the episode. I'm like, man, you sound so pathetic.
Oh, man. Just a little weepy. Not pathetic, yeah. Really. Just, you know, just, I mean, it's okay when grown men cry.
Anyway, I love the show. So anyway, black and white and color and the going back and forth flashbacks. What did you think of it?
I liked it.
You liked it.
I did. I thought it was great. I really appreciated the way that they were, using that as a tool, I guess, to tell the story in that they didn't want to, I feel like they kind of didn't really want to give away or to sort of tell how long. And so realizing that it might be confusing, and I think they talked about this a little bit in Talking Dead, but realizing it might be confusing, they decided to use the medium of black and white versus color to depict, as a subtle heads up cue, I guess, or whatever, of what's happening here. So this is, hey, this is our flashback. Okay. We've got the black and white. So you guys know. And then, you know, the other color was like full on action and all that jazz. I liked it.
Well, I guess there's two things to talk about with that. The first is the storytelling method of like flashbacks and going to, you know, present time, and the use of the color and black and white to separate those two. Okay. So the flashbacks, I got no problem with. I followed what was going on and really didn't even need the color change. However, the color change, I heard a lot of people, like basically I've heard maybe 60-40. I don't know if that's accurate or not. Some people really liked it. I was not one of those people. I did not like it at all. Now, okay. Disclaimer. The first time I had to watch the show, I was watching it in a less than optimal condition in my car on my phone.
Which tainted you for the whole episode.
Yes, which forever tainted me. So, Yeah, I wanted to rate this a 5 at first.
Wow. Harsh.
But it was, I was just like, okay, you're nuts. But anyway, I came to my senses, of course. But the problem that I had with it is I'm watching this thing and the color keeps going out. And I was like, for the first, I don't know, 15 minutes, I thought that my signal was going crazy. So I kept like stopping it and rewinding.
I mean, that's so silly. Like when was the last time that your signal affected whether or not you got color or not? I mean, honestly, how many years has it been?
You'd be surprised. On my phone, it happens quite often. There's all sorts of weird things that's happened through Dish Anywhere. Is the I have the Hopper, and most of the time it's good. But when you're trying to watch something live and your connection's kind of fading in and out, it'll do all sorts of weird things. It'll drop the connection or stop it.
See, that I can understand, dropping the connection, but making it go from color to black and white, that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. That's like,
it changes resolution.
It changes from digital to analog, because I think that's the only time that you black and white back when you had analog TV.
Now, when I finally clued into what was going on, I was okay with it. But, you know, AMC, what they did wrong with it, and I don't know why they did it this way, their little icon in the bottom right, it's usually gold and black, and it was gray or was transparent, but basically looked gray. So if they had kept that on screen like that, I would have understood what was going on instead of being completely dunce. So now, I've watched it several more times on much better situations, and I appreciated it more, but I still couldn't quite get past
your initial viewing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't think it was AMC that I don't think. I mean, I completely got it like the instant that they did it. I was like, OK, so the flashbacks are going to be in black and white. That's cool. So I don't know why. I don't know. I was like, it made complete perfect sense to me. Right. Like, from the outset, basically. So I think you were just in a bad mood already or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I was, but we won't talk about
it. Don't take it out on The Walking Dead. It's not The Walking Dead's fault. Yes.
I mean, think about it. I'm watching the premiere in a parking lot. Your mood is not going to be very high at that point. But anyway, I digress. So the storytelling technique, whatnot, I got into it. And, you know, I've seen lots of TV shows that have done that kind of thing. And like, even to a limited extent, like the fifth season premiere, they had the then and now. I mean, yeah, they would have had to do it many times during the episode, but they could have even done that. But anyway, I just didn't like the choice, but I think I've beat this horse to death. So,
yeah.
Another thing that had a little bit of a problem with was believing the whole walkers in the quarry stuff. I mean, okay, if there's that many walkers, it seemed like Rick had to really listen to hear them. And that makes me wonder, is like, how are these walkers attracted to a sound that couldn't have been that loud? And also, wouldn't they have been able to smell them? I mean, walkers do not smell nice. And if there's that many of them, it's going to smell really bad. So, you know, that was part of my issue, just believing that in general. But
okay, I'll allow it. I think you have a valid point there, and everybody who has mentioned this or whatever, it does seem a little implausible, I guess, that there would be such a threat so close and not, you know, noticed, I suppose. However, I will counter this by saying you have to remember that it's the Alexandrians who didn't notice this before, okay, who didn't, like, pay attention to or I don't know, whatever. Rick and the gang, they've only been there, like, maybe a week at the very most when the whole season 5 finale with the slicing and dicing and scrambling brains and all that stuff happened. And so I think that they hadn't really had a chance to, I guess, I don't know, I don't know if discover it is the right phrase, but they just
survey.
They had not had a chance to really take stock in their surroundings yet.
Yeah.
Like to the full extent. I mean, they said what this was on like the west side, the west of them or something.
Yeah.
Basically on a side of them that no one ever goes. And so maybe the Alexandrians wouldn't even think to, you know, think that going there was a problem or what have you. Or I mean, going there was a, that was something that you needed to do, I guess. And so they wouldn't probably would not have thought to show, you know, the others that area, and it would have been left to them to explore and discover on their own, which I'm sure they would have done. I'm sure they would have found it. It just so happened that they found it. I mean, you know, then was the time so that they found it. And, you know, I imagine that probably a goodly portion of the world smells really bad by now. So
including them.
Yeah. I don't know that you could necessarily say, well, how come they didn't smell them? Because, I mean, everything smells bad. And when everything smells bad, you know, I don't know. That's just kind of what I think. I'm like, when were they supposed to notice this smell of decaying, rotting flesh amongst the roses that are all blooming everywhere or something? I don't think so. So I understand that it is a little bit convenient, but I'll allow it because it is a cool storytelling vehicle, I guess.
It was a, you know, and yeah, my suspension of disbelief was, you know, stretched a little bit. I didn't have a huge problem with it. But it made me wonder, though. I would have thought that if not so much the smell, but the sound, you know, how is it attracting walkers that to that extent if it's doesn't seem that loud, you know?
Well, at first
they didn't hear it.
Well, it's probably a little muffled because it's down in a quarry, you know, and it just takes one to wonder what that sound is and like, you know, kind of meander or mosey off in that direction. And you know, like they said, they're basically followers now. They just get in a line and start walking. And so when one of them sees something, then all of them are going to just follow suit. And so it really, to me, I guess I would say it really only takes one to get them in, you know, on that path where they're like, hey, what's that? Ooh, shiny. And then suddenly they're all, you know, following the, ooh, shiny. And it's just right. Kind of like, I don't know. And like they said, you know, more noise means more walkers means, you know, more noise, and it's kind of like compounded or exponential or whatever mathematical term you want to throw out there. So I don't know. That's kind of what I thought.
The major thing or semi-major thing where disbelief was stretched a little more was the plan itself, because it wasn't a bad plan, except it wasn't the only plan. And hear me out. Two things I thought of that they could have done. First of all, they're near DC. They're near the Pentagon. Maybe they've already tried to do this. I don't know. It's not been discussed, but I would have to think that they'd be able to get some ammunition or, you know, explosives. Heck, it's a quarry. The quarry's going to have dynamite and explosives there too. So, and of course they have gasoline. They can make Molotov cocktails, what have you. Just start culling the herd. Just literally blow it up. Now, mind you, maybe that will attract more walkers. That's fine. But, you know, you just once a month throw in some stuff and just keep working on it until they're all gone. But the other thing I thought of, and I didn't think of this right away, I must admit, but when they first, you know, come across them, you know, we had this scene that was in the trailer. We didn't know who had done it. You see this guy come out of nowhere and tackle someone else, and it looked like they were right off the cliff. Of course, that ended up being Rick doing the tackling and Ron being the tackle-y. But right after that, of course, the walkers just, you know, go to their demise, falling hundreds of feet in back, you know, into the quarry. Well, what they could have done was got the walkers along a course that would have directed them back to this cliff and have them just all go off the side. And there, seriously, you could get rid of a lot just by having them jump off the cliff. Anyway,
there, for one thing, I'm going to point out the, yes, there probably were flaws in that plan. However, there are probably always going to be flaws in plans, but
very true.
As an effective leader, you need people to follow you. And the best way to get people to follow you is to convince them that there is no other way. This is, in fact, the best way to get XYZ done. And that's exactly what Rick was doing. Might not have been the only way, but to him, it was the best way. And so it had to be the only way because he needed to get it done and he needed to lead them into it. And so that's what you have to, you know, that's how you have to, I mean, you can't be, it can't, everything can't be a discussion, you know, it's gotta be, this is the way we're going to do it. And so we're going to do it that way. And they kind of did have a little bit of a discussion, but, and then of course, you know, Carol was in top form. Well, it sounds so scary, but I think we should do it. That was hilarious. That was another hilarious point. But here's,
I wonder when she's going to be made.
I don't know when she's going to, if she's going to get outed or when she's going to get outed, I guess. It's probably not if, it's probably when. But anyway.
I think it's going to happen soon.
Probably. But my second point is that they might have, there might have been other solutions. However, I think that Rick observed the situation and justly, or I should say correctly, determined that this was very time sensitive.
Yes.
Okay. This is something that needed to happen immediately. They don't have time to pick them off gradually one by one because that little area is literally bursting at the seams. I imagine a year and a half or whatever into the zombie apocalypse that probably any kind of munitions or explosives or whatever would have already been picked clean. And so probably the quarry didn't have it in a place that might have it. That would be more secure, would probably, I mean, a military base being more secure would probably have them. However, that would take a lot of time and effort and what have you to go there and find said necessary things. And again, I go back to needing to take decisive action and act quickly. And that's exactly what Rick did. And he, you know, like I said, he determined that this is a problem that needs to be taken care of as quickly as possible. And I don't think that going back to DC to get explosives or whatever would have, I think that would have been too time consuming.
Well, in the end, of course, that's true. And I guess maybe the show could use some background. Like for example, you know, especially the Pentagon. The Pentagon is in Arlington, Virginia. Arlington is next to Alexandria, Virginia. So, and I believe the Department of Defense is nearby as well, possibly even in Alexandria. I thought I remembered.
They don't just have bombs hanging out in the Pentagon or the Department of Defense. I mean,
yeah, they have a bomb stand, you know. pick up an ice cream and some bombs.
That's funny. Yeah, I mean, yeah, those things are, they're all close. However, if you've never been on a military base before, or if you've never been on that particular military base before, would you know exactly where to look or where to go? Or,
well, just to confirm, in fact, if you go to the DOD Office of Inspector General, it gives an address of Alexandria. So, 4800 Mark Center Drive.
Okay, I say it again. I don't think that the DOD just has bombs hanging out.
I know.
There. So, knowing where the DOD is doesn't really do any good.
Well, the other thing I thought of, too, is if any place could withstand an apocalypse would probably be the Pentagon. So, maybe there's no point in going there because they're there. So, anyway, let's move on. Does he have anything else to say about that?
Nope.
So we have, much like the what we saw in Fear the Walking Dead, there was a lot of examples of teenage angst. And unfortunately, we have more in the guise of Ron. So I think Ron is going to be a problem for Rick to have to deal with. You know what? When I think of Ron, I don't have any experience with this. So listeners, if I get this wrong, please forgive me.
Your dad has never sliced anybody's neck open with a katana and then someone killed him for it? That's never happened to you before?
Well, that's not where I was going.
Oh.
Anyway, in abusive situations. In abusive situations, like I've mentioned in past episodes, watching Intervention quite a bit. And you see examples on there where, the person that needs the intervention has been abused. And in the family, older siblings especially did not witness or see the same level of abuse. So there's like a lack of empathy there. So I wonder in Ron's case if he fits that bill. Like, he didn't see the abuse that was going on to his mom and, maybe to Sam. What do you think about that?
Well, I also don't have very much experience with childhood abuse, but it's been my experience, or I should say it's been my knowledge, that the older siblings typically try to shield the younger siblings from the abuse. I had always thought that everything that I've ever seen or heard or read about or whatever indicated that I would think it would be more likely that the younger siblings wouldn't really know what was going on because the older sibling was bearing the brunt of it. So I don't know, but
I think it depends. Like I say, in watching Intervention, I've seen several examples of like the older sibling, this started, later on, and maybe he wasn't in the house very much or whatnot. He was dealing with his own issues, so he didn't see it. And of course, Sam has, and of course, Jesse has. So maybe that's part of it. And of course, like you said, Ron's going to have a problem with Rick, and Rick is being a little tone deaf, I guess, for thinking that he can just, act like nothing's going on. Obviously, I think Ron is going to have some feelings, some negative feelings about Rick. Like you said, he killed his father. And if I'm, anywhere near being in the ballpark of right, and he may not completely understand why. I don't know. That's my take.
Yeah, I don't know either. I know that I think it kind of goes back to the whole, I can complain about my family or what have you, but that does not give you license to do so. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can say, yes. Oh, I'm so mad at my, whoever and blah, 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 blah. But the minute you chime in and say, yeah, he was a real jerk or she was, super mean or whatever, I'm like, hey, man, don't be talking about my mama or whatever, So I mean, it could be something as simple as that it doesn't matter that he's still okay. No matter what, even if he was. Or even if he was not, I should say, oblivious to how Pete was and what was actually going on, he's still his dad, okay? It still boils down to the fact that especially if the kid is not immune to the abuse or whatever you want to say, he's going to have some problems. He's going to have issues for a while because it's hard. It's hard to reconcile someone who is supposed to be your protector, someone who is supposed to love you and care for you and all that stuff. It's hard to separate or, differentiate this feeling of that's my parent who's doing these horrible things and still gonna, I mean, still, it's still his dad, you know, even though his dad was a horrible person, it's still his dad. So I think that's what it boils down to. It doesn't matter. He has not really been able to get to the point of, you know, age and perspective and recognizing the fallibility and the flaws in his parent and understanding that it's okay to be mad at him for the things that he did wrong, or even, you know, hate him, I guess, for the things that he did wrong. I mean, maybe it would be healthy a little bit to have a little bit of anger or hatred or whatever towards him. I don't know, but I do know that it's never black and white for kids the way it is for adults. And that's why I think partly why it's so terrible when adults do crappy things like that to kids, because they can't see in gray the way that adults can. After, you know, some years and experience, you've got a better handle on life and, you know, how things work, and kids still see things in black and white. So it would be really hard for him to reconcile the fact that, yeah, his dad was a creep and deserved to die for the things that he did, with the fact that this guy killed my dad. So,
yeah, to that end too, the whole black and white thing, like what Jesse said later to Rick about laying his hands on him and that, I went back and, you know, watched that again. And it's like, it didn't really seem that way to me. So, you know, that was, must have been Ron's impression of it. But I mean, yeah, he grabbed his shirt, you know, and one thing that Rick did that, you know, wasn't the greatest thing he could have done was like stick his finger in his face and like go, you know, what did he say? Don't make it hard or something like that.
Yeah, well, he told him, he said, it's not safe out here for you and you're going to come back with us and all that kind of stuff. And I think what she said was, she said, you're not allowed to talk to him that way and or touch him, I think is what she said.
Yeah. But I mean, well, he touched him twice. So the first time, if he hadn't touched him, Ron would be dead. And the second time he touched him.
I'm sure he wasn't.
He didn't. You know, it's not like he grabbed him in a malicious way. It was just kind of like stopping him from
running off.
You know, running off. Yeah.
I totally agree. I didn't understand completely the whole talking to that she sort of seemed to have with him. I mean, I do feel like Rick was being a tad bit pushy and that she was correct in the fact that he won't be able to hear it from Rick. Doesn't matter what he says. He could say the sky is blue and,
Ron would say it was green.
Yeah, he would probably not believe him or argue with him or whatever, you know. Yeah. And that's probably going to be the way it is maybe for ever. Who knows? But I don't understand her, I don't know, talking to him that way. And I'm like, what? And the whole touching him bit, I was like, well, he didn't really, I mean, like, yes, he touched him, but the only thing he did was grab him to make sure that he didn't run off. And I'm sorry, but in the zombie apocalypse, that to me is okay, because unless you're beating my child, I would like for you to grab them and stop them from running off and doing something stupid, especially if they're being angsty. So I don't know.
Some of what Jesse said, made sense. One thing. The fact that she's getting training from someone else other than Rick, totally understand that. That makes perfect sense to me. And the thing that I like the most about that whole situation is it's going to put the brakes on the whole Jesse Rick thing, which I did not like from last season. If this is it, if that's all over, I would be very happy.
It was not my favorite thing from last season, but I thought, why Rosita? I mean, were they close or something? Or I don't know. I was like, why did she just, I don't know. It kind of felt like out of the blue to me. Rosita's going to show me. I'm like, how, what? Rosita? It's like, not that she's, I just.
It made sense. I mean, you know, she's going to go to another woman, I guess. And Maggie's busy with Deanna. And, you know.
Tara's unconscious and Carol's supposedly
yeah, Tara's unconscious
doesn't know anything about guns.
Right. Yeah, supposedly. You know, so.
All right. I guess that makes more sense than I initially thought. Yeah. But I was like, what? Yeah. Like, not that I disapprove of that or anything. I just thought, why Rosita?
She could have gone to Michonne, of course.
Yeah, see, I mean, Michonne.
That would have been a good good person to go with.
Because then Michonne could have been like, Rick's mine, back off. She would never have said that. But it's totally true. No,
she wouldn't. But, okay.
It should be.
Yeah. I want to see those two together. We've talked about it. We talked about it last episode in the preview. By the way, I hope you guys liked the preview with Justin and Kelly from The Walking Dead, a Walking Naked podcast. We really enjoyed doing that episode, by the way.
Yeah, they were so much fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Expect more.
Yes, we will be doing more with them in the future. Nicholas, or should I say Dickolas? Is he no longer going to be Dickolas?
I don't know, but he is kind of growing on me a little bit. He's redeeming himself, I think, and everybody loves a redemption story, me included.
Yeah, he definitely seemed to be humbled.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
and I did appreciate, you know, Glenn did not want him to volunteer, but it's one of those things about, you know, earn the trust back and
get back on the horse.
Yeah. Get back on the horse. And, you know, he also seemed to know his place. So hopefully that will continue. I don't want to see that. I don't know why it wouldn't continue unless he's crazy or something, but he just was, I guess he was just very threatened last season with them being there, our group. Anyway, what did you think about that?
Well, like I said, to me, he's angling for redemption, and I think he's doing a fine job of it so far, especially with the whole, you know, mea culpa thing or whatever. We didn't have any idea what we were doing kind of a thing, which was absolutely true. And I don't know. I mean, you know, he might actually turn out to be a character that's kind of growing on me. And I think it's really all because of Glenn, you know, like Maggie, when Maggie and Tara were talking, he didn't, you know, forbade her from saying anything. He just said, well, you can if you want to, but I'm, you know, he's going to basically kind of take him under his wing, even though he just tried to kill him because he's a little punk. I mean, you know, it's almost like I almost can't remember why I was so mad at him last season. But I mean, I do remember. But, you know, it's almost like, gee, why was I so angry with Nicholas last season? I can't remember. But then I'm like, oh, yeah, that whole revolving door thing.
Yeah.
Oh, so anyway, but, you know, like I said, I like a redemption story as much as the next fan.
It's funny, I have to say. I am more willing to accept his redemption than Gabriel's.
Oh, absolutely. I'm like, nope, sorry. And okay, so when we were talking about when Rick is immediately, no, who else? That to me, you know, we were wondering last season about how come Maggie hasn't told anybody. Well, based on this statement, it's clear she did. So they might not have explained it or expounded on that topic very much last season. I mean, really at all. But based on Rick's reaction, she did tell people. So she didn't keep that under her hat like we had assumed. And I was glad. So
yeah,
I felt vindicated.
It clearly was a known thing.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I felt a little vindicated on behalf of Maggie, I guess. Her character anyway, because I remember we were pretty irritated about it. But
yeah, in general, her character the whole fifth season, but just the things that they had her do and not do were kind of annoying at times.
Didn't seem to make much sense, I guess, really.
Yeah, it didn't.
But
so
now we know that she did do some stuff that made sense.
Yeah. Gabriel
and Deanna looking at him and saying, "You were wrong." I was like,
yeah, that was good old Deanna.
He just
Who's Deanna?
Oh,
I've been waiting for that. That's hilarious. I've been waiting for that all episode.
Who's Deanna?
Oh, who's Deanna?
Damn. Who's Deanna?
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, as far as I know, people come up to Michael Cudlitz and say, "Who's Deanna?"
Who's Deanna? That's hilarious. Oh, man.
Yeah, Deanna was pretty messed up this whole episode.
She was. I thought, okay, so speaking about Deanna, I did have a few questions while I was watching the episode and things, and when I was rewatching and stuff, I was kind of making note of things that I wondered about and stuff. And
Things.
One of the things that I was wondering was, okay, go back a little bit. How come Rick objected so strenuously to Pete being buried inside, for one thing? And then why did Deanna agree with him? And then why does Deanna suddenly seem to be agreeing with him all episode?
Well, I think that her agreeing with him about burying Pete, I think, has to do with, it all has to do with Reg. It has to do with the fact that she didn't do anything about him. You know, he could have been dealt with a long time before it got to that point. Because she knew about it.
Yep.
You know.
But then I think Carol that kind of wound him up and set him on his path.
Good old Carol.
She's so good with the machinations. Yes, but, anyway.
Yeah. But, you know, Reg didn't have to die in the in the process.
Well, that's true. That was definitely a tough lesson for her.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, where she is. Like, there was that one part during the meeting where they're discussing the plan, and you hear he didn't seem to be whispering too softly, by the way, Glenn talking to Maggie about, you know, wanting Maggie to stay behind and kind of watch over Deanna.
Yeah, I think that was a TV whisper, because it's always, I mean, you know, like if they really were truly whispering, we wouldn't have been able to hear them. And the point is so that we can hear them, right? It's the same thing when people like seem to move off only like 2 inches from the other people that they were just with so that they can speak privately or whatever. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. We all agree.
Yeah.
Because you're not really that far away and I can hear 5 feet. So, but again, I think, like I said, it's a TV whisper, you know, it's only a whisper. They only went, lowered their voices a little bit, but weren't really whispering, just so that we would know that, yes, they're actually whispering, but, you know, they're speaking loud enough so that we can hear them still. But this is a whisper. That's kind of like, that's your cue of, this is a whisper. Oh, okay. So they're whispering.
But going back to that, she was deferring a lot to Rick. And, you know, some of that, of course, she's going to defer to him, certainly on, you know, security issues. And, you know, she asks him what else they need to do. And he says that they need to arm themselves, which I totally get and agree with.
And apparently they did.
Yeah.
But here's my thing about that. I understand that she had this traumatic event happen to her. However, it seems like a complete 180 from earlier. I guess it was earlier that episode when they were all grr and pouty face about, you know, upon learning that their son didn't come home, and then Nicholas basically selling his fabrication and whatnot, and, you know, not even taking the casserole and all that kind of stuff. And to me, okay, that was one of my biggest issues from last season, was how she just, I understand reacting emotionally, but it seemed like I thought she was a more logical and rational person than, but then again, maybe she just never really had anything that tragic happen to her before, so she didn't really know how to handle it. Anyway, it seemed like she, based on this and then her, just, I don't know, she's all over the place, I guess. She's all over the map. She's really angry, and then she's really like, whatever you want to do, kind of a thing. And I just,
yeah,
I don't know. It seemed very, what's really going on with you, kind of a thing, personally.
Yeah, it is kind of, you know, bipolar.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that.
That's a
not literally, of course. I just mean of two minds.
Yeah.
Just, you know, saying this and then saying this the next time, and, you know, initially, you know, not wanting anyone killed, and then, you know, the next episode
she's like, what's really going on in your head? Because you're suddenly acting contrary, completely contrary to her previously set up character traits, I guess. That's what I would think. So I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you say, she probably hasn't had to deal with these kind of issues the entire apocalypse, you know.
Forever.
Yeah. And these are problems that I would say most people would have trouble dealing with. Rick and the group have dealt with so many things. I mean, they survived the butcher shop last season somehow, which to me, by the way, is still the best season premiere.
Me too. Maybe even the best episode of the series.
Yes. I've said that, so I have to totally agree with that. Ethan Embry. Carter.
Aw, poor Ethan Embry.
You know, it seemed the way that the trailer made it seem that he was going to be on several episodes of the show, and he didn't last a single one. So he had kind of a spectacular death.
Yeah, he did. I was surprised that he didn't even last a full episode. It's like, man, yeah,
he was obviously a favorite of a lot of people. You know, he's been known for many, many things.
Yeah.
So, you know, and supposedly he was on Talking Dead, and what? He said that he had auditioned for, you know, several different roles in the past.
They said he had auditioned numerous times, and he did not deny it.
Yeah. And he also told everyone how much of a fanatic he is. Yeah. You know, doing potlucks during the show every week.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So, you know, I thought he did a terrific job. And, you know, Carter, he never said anything that was completely out of whack other than trying to, you know, wanting to kill Rick. But everything else he said, he brought up issues that, you know,
valid points.
He brought up a couple of holes and with the plan and possible things that could go wrong. So, you know, he certainly didn't seem to be a bad guy. He just seemed to be a misguided guy to me.
A grumpy Gus too. He was always frowning. Every time I saw this one, I don't know, one episode or one scene, I should say, where I don't know if they froze on him or if they kind of scene ended on him, you know, when it's like zoom in for dramatic effect kind of thing. He was frowning almost every single time. I was like, man, he can't do anything but frown this whole episode. I didn't like the character Carter. I didn't like him.
Well,
I like Ethan Embry a lot, but I did not like Carter. I was like, nope.
I don't think you were supposed to.
I know. I'm just saying. I didn't. Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. And one thing I thought of with him was that whole scene where the walkers were coming out while they were constructing that wall. And Rick did not want to intervene. And, of course, Morgan intervened.
Mm-hmm. I think that was the source of the so-called conflict. Everybody thought, you know, oh, they're going to be at odds this season. But it was really just that, I think.
Yeah. But we're going to get into Morgan in a second here. But what did you think about Rick's stance and, you know, not intervening? And it almost seemed like he might wait a little bit too long there.
No, I don't think so. I think he was absolutely in the right in that regard, because the problem is you can't really, these people have never really been in a life or death situation. They've never had to, make these choices and fend for themselves, basically, you know, take care of their loved ones. make snap decisions, make, you know, life or death snap decisions. And just, I mean, I could go on and on. But the problem is, unless you're in that situation, you won't be able to develop those skills. The only right. reason that our gang has been able to handle themselves as well as they have is because of lots and lots of practice and experience. And that's just not something that you can simulate. They can train, you know, shooting and learning how to fire a gun and, marksmanship and whatever. But I mean, until they're blue in the face, but until they actually get in that setting, I mean, their first instinct is to turn and look at them and go, help us.
Help.
And I'm like, yeah. You can't do that. What if there is no Rick next to you, which, as we saw, happened later in the show. That, yeah. I mean, that he just reached out of nowhere and grabbed the guy and instantly bit his face off. And he didn't, I mean, he didn't really do anything except for go, you know?
Yeah. And they said on Talking Dead that Walker was one of those walkers that slipped through the cracks there. And as a result, you know, he had entrails, intestines. That got stuck in the trees.
Yeah, that was,
and that's why he wasn't on the road.
Right.
You know,
and great, makes total sense. But the problem is, until you have been in a life or death situation before, and you know how you'll react, and you know how to react, you know, to calm yourself, to not freak out and panic, because when you freak out and panic, you make weird, stupid, dumb decisions, and you get yourself killed, and. I think that's what, I mean, that's basically what Rick was talking about when he was pretty much saying that he didn't have to kill Carter because he was kind of pretty much dead already, because he just had to let him outside the gates and the guy would kill himself or get himself killed or whatever. His main thing was, minimizing the damage, I guess, or whatever. But unless you're in that situation, you won't know what to do. And there is no other way to get in that situation except for exactly what they did. And to me, I feel like that was kind of the perfect opportunity that was a little wasted, because if things got out of hand or got out of control, they were right there ready to take over and keep anyone from getting killed and bitten. But I don't think that Morgan did anyone any favors by stepping in like he did. And I disagreed with him saying, I thought you said you don't take chances. That is not taking a chance, buddy. That is education and experience that you cannot get any other way. And that's the opposite of taking a chance. That is investing in people and making sure that they will not be a liability.
Okay. I didn't really have a problem with Morgan stepping in. It was, but I guess the question, it was pretty clear to me that they didn't know what they were doing, and someone
pretty much
would have needed to step in at some point. And it was just a question of when, right? That, would you agree with that?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. The problem is we'll never know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that, to me, that's the whole issue, is that if you are always constantly stepping in for someone, you'll never know what they can or can't do.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, you will never improve if you are not tested.
Exactly. And there is no substitute for experience.
Very true. Okay, Morgan.
Morgan.
So
he's so zen.
The trailer did lie to us.
Lies.
And the posters too, for that
matter. Yeah, exactly.
Lie, lie, lie. Obviously, I don't think there's a showdown between the two of them.
No, I never did.
Yeah. And for that matter, I heard Lenny James during Comic-Con, and he made it sound like it was just marketing.
Yeah, he said something about, like, I don't know, the trailer doing
misleading,
but purposefully misleading or something. I was like, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, they always seem to do that. Of course, last year's trailer, they made it look like Gareth was going to join our group,
right?
And that clearly did not happen.
No, they kind of made it seem like Terminus was going to last for a really long time. And they said something that I thought, like, they said I don't know, that they wished that they had let Terminus go on longer. And I was like, what? What's wrong with you? It's like, I did not want Terminus to go on any longer.
Who said that?
And I thought someone said something like that on Talking Dead. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe not.
There was the potential there, I think, for it to go a few more episodes.
Yeah, I think they said that they could have, so maybe they should have. And I was like, no.
Well, I thought it was the then again, we wouldn't, we probably wouldn't have got gotten Vans toppling off of a bridge.
I cannot speak to that.
I'm just saying, we probably wouldn't have got that gotten that episode if we had had more of the termites.
I liked that episode, except for the Vans.
I know.
So
yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. That's what I mean. Not the episode, but the van. We just get rid of the van.
Yeah, well, that to me is a result of lazy writing, and it irritates me when they do that.
What did you think about him going, Morgan, going into solitary?
I did not understand that at all. I was like, why does Rick have him on lockdown?
Yeah.
Kind of like it was like a quarantine, except for what exactly were they quarantining him from?
A house arrest or something.
Yeah, it was, like, this is weird.
Yeah, I didn't get it myself.
I don't know either. If someone out there can understand the thought process behind keeping Morgan on lockdown, please tell me and explain it to me, because I didn't really. It's like it's kind of like they were basically saying, well, you know, it's been a long time since we've hung out, so we kind of need to get to know each other again to make sure that, you know, you're not a psycho anymore or something. I don't know. I was just kind of like, okay. And this,
maybe part of it had to do with the fact that the last time Rick had seen him, Morgan's mental state wasn't exactly
not playing at its full best. Deck of cards.
Yeah,
maybe. So, but
that might have been.
It seemed clear to me that he was not out of his wits again, mm-hmm. or off his rocker or whatever. So I don't know. I thought, well, all right, I guess. I'm glad that did not drag on forever, because I would have found that highly irritating.
I pretty much liked all of the scenes between Morgan and Rick. And
I did too.
Of course, between Andrew Lincoln and Lenny James. So they really work well with each other, you know, and have ever since the pilot.
Yeah.
And I look forward to Lenny James being a part of the regular cast and having that name, just like I predicted in the preview, by the way, that Lenny James and Sinequa Martin Green were part of the main credits. So yay, Brian, I got it right.
Yay for fun. To me, yeah. I think. Good job. I kind of feel like Morgan is here to remind Rick how to be Rick, because he said when they were, you know, taking Pete's body elsewhere, and Rick was basically just going to unceremoniously dump him. And Morgan was like, nope, that's not who you are. You're not going to do it. So let's quit pretending like we are and just get the shovel. And, you know, Rick is like, what? You don't know me. I'm going to know. But then what does he do? He grabs the shovel. And I just thought, yeah, it's true, because that's the kind of guy that Rick really is. Like, deep down, he is that guy. It's just that based on circumstance and the situation that life has given him, he's had to do a lot of, you know, really terrible things that normal people wouldn't really like to do or want to do or whatever. So that's what I think.
Yeah. And we already knew this, but Morgan is a pretty smart cookie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not surprised, actually, that he was able to figure out. Well, I don't think he completely knows the story, but he definitely got that Carol was a little more than what she was broadcasting.
Yeah, he did. He had her figured out for sure.
Yeah. Were you a cop too?
Whatever do you mean?
Yeah. Oh, you're, that's
aren't you
so sweet. Too sweet. Yeah, Carol wasn't in this episode too much, but I have a feeling she will be in the next one.
Oh, yes.
With walkers coming to Alexandria.
And that's when I think she's going to get outed, because she's
going to
show herself to be the badass that she is. And people are going to be looking at her going, what the hell?
Yep.
She's going to be like, follow me. I'm Rambo Carol.
And, definitely.
And there was no Carl this episode.
Oh, no, there was. And I actually missed it the first time, thanks to my crappy connection. There was a very brief scene with Carl and Enid.
Oh, yeah.
At the very beginning.
That's right.
But it was only a few seconds, and I think Ron was, you know,
looking on
at,
in some and, weirdness.
Yes, something I hate Rick, and I hate you.
Yeah,
son of Rick.
I hate everything about you.
Yes, Abraham and Sasha. It's worth talking about them for a couple minutes. It almost seems like, of course, Sasha was in a very bad state at the end of the last season, and she seemed to be coming out of it, but Abraham, on the other hand, seemed to be going into it.
Yeah. I liked the whole kind of, I don't know how else to explain it other than like reverse question thing, where they're talking about the question after it's been answered, but we don't really know what the question is, but we can kind of guess what the question is based on their, what they're saying, you know, the context, I guess we could contextually figure out. But I thought it was kind of cool that they kind of did it that way, I guess. I thought that was well used.
Yes, it was. And the only other thing that I have to say, I liked the soundtrack this episode.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, I thought Bear McCreary was, his soundtrack sometimes is pretty subtle on The Walking Dead. But this one, I thought how fitting it was compared to that horn at the end, mm-hmm. like hearing the sounds that he had for the walkers and all that, it fit like a glove with that horn. And of course we kept hearing that, you know, that music, and I thought it was so great. And then at the very end we hear the horn, I was like, oh man, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Another awesome sauce moment, I guess.
Yeah, it was awesome. I agree. I was listening to the, or when I was watching the episode and hearing the music, I was like, man, that's pretty cool.
Okay. So, do you have anything else?
What the heck is the deal with the walkers walking so much more quickly this season? I thought the older they got, the more slowly they would move, but they were hauling butt, all of them.
I don't know. I think that when they're highly motivated, they seem to walk a little better, but
that doesn't really, I mean,
it shouldn't
factor into anything. I mean, when I'm highly motivated, I move faster, but I am a human being with control over my motor skills, and they are not. So,
well,
they should always be that motivated, in my opinion. They should always be motivated. I don't think that there are levels of motivation when it comes to the fact that you are an unthinking automaton who basically just wants to eat to survive. If you need to eat to survive, you are always going to move at the same rate, which is as fast as your mobility will allow you to get to that food. Because if that is all that's driving you, then it's always a top priority. So I was like, man, suddenly they're like hauling ass. And they haven't been moving that quick for a really, really long time, I felt like. So why the sudden burst in mobility from basically all of them?
It's probably just a plot device to keep things moving.
Story fail.
Yeah.
Keep things moving, literally. But
yes. But talk about coordination, though. I mean, we talked about it earlier, but you know, in addition to the walkers like smashing their heads against the steel, they also fell and were like walking on top of each other and crushing each other that way. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, they only have so much coordination.
Yeah. So how are they suddenly moving? Anyway, whatever.
But one constant, they're dumb.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's, I think, pretty much it.
Okay. Well, we used to do the Survivor and Death of the Week. We will do it as fitting. I guess the only death was good old Carter. So
yeah,
Carter, we'll pour one out to you.
Mm.
Yeah. Is this a good time to talk about the horn?
Yeah.
All right. So where'd this come from? Who's doing it?
I don't know. It seems too obvious that it would be the wolves, but I don't know. Well, okay. I don't know who else it would be. But then, on the other hand, as one of my coworkers pointed out to me, the people in Alexandria did not know that they were actually doing the plan right then, because when they arrived there, it was, we're going to do a dry run or whatever. And so they may not know that this horn is completely effing up all their plans. So,
yeah. And it could have been like the horn almost sounded like an, you know, I'd have to hear it to compare, but it almost sounded like, you know, the kind of horns you get when bad weather is going on, like the tornado or I'm sure you must have those in Oklahoma.
Yes, we do. And it didn't sound anything like that. Yeah. It's an air raid siren. If you know what an air raid siren sounds like,
oh, that's an air raid siren.
That's what the tornado sirens sound like. They sound like the air raid sirens. That was not an air raid siren. That was just somebody laying on the horn, like literally like a car horn is what it sounded like to me.
I didn't think it sounded like a car horn.
I did. It was not a tornado siren.
Okay. And definitely you would know.
At least not an Oklahoma tornado siren. I don't know how they do tornado sirens other places.
I've heard other sirens, but you know, I couldn't say how they sound or don't sound. It just sounded like maybe something that was being activated somehow. You know, maybe they were testing something at Alexandria. Like you say, it could have been them completely oblivious to what was going on.
Yeah.
Or it could have been the wolves. Some have suggested it could have been Ron or Enid or even Kira on the Facebook group thought it could have been Deanna. And I thought, Deanna, why would she do that? It seems kind of an odd thing to do. But yeah, I mean, if it was done and it had nothing to do with this, obviously Alexandria did not know what was going on. We assume that there was enough distance between where they were and where Alexandria is that they weren't aware, especially since Morgan was being sent over there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you would think that they would have thought to tell them. I mean, they have walkie-talkies, so it seems silly that they would not have, at least someone wouldn't have said something, hey, we got to do this now, you know, the barrier is breaking and we don't have any time to whatever, you know, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like, on the one hand, yeah, okay, they did not know exactly what was going on, but then on the other hand, it seems like that's a really I guess opportune time for the wolves to attack. Pretty much they seem like the type of people who would take advantage of situations similar to that could possibly work to their advantage, I guess. And so,
yeah, we saw in the finale that they use
walkers as weapons,
you know, lights and sound,
mm-hmm.
to attract, you know, walkers, like to corral them together, put them back in their trucks. So obviously that would be something that they would do if they knew where Alexandria.
That would be in their wheelhouse.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like I said, that seems kind of obvious that it would be them. But then at the same time, who else would it be?
We know we're going to encounter them.
Yes.
I mean, when? I don't know. But we have to sometime during this half season be dealing with them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to go into the second half.
Yeah.
So it could be them.
I don't know.
I think we'll know by the cold open of next episode.
I hope so.
Okay, feedback.
Woohoo. We got lots of feedback this time.
Yes, we did. We got some audio feedback this time.
Yeah. Multiple audio. Thank you.
Multiple. So I'm going to play the first. Jeff Gentry, who has joined the Golden Spower Media podcast team. He's one of the co-hosts of Gotham Undercover. He left us a voicemail, so here it is.
Hey, this is Jeff Gentry, X-Force 11, calling in for the Walking Dead talk-through. Okay, guys, I thought this was a very interesting episode, especially when you contrast it with Fear the Walking Dead. In Fear the Walking Dead, we saw very little on the Walker situation because everything was so new. And in Walking Dead this week, we got a literal quarry full of walkers. So it was wild to see the contrast. But what I really want to talk about was the use of black and white and color. Yes, it was used black and whites for the flashbacks and color for the current action. I really liked it. I like black and white, and they did it very well. The reason I really liked it is because you focus less on the scenery and the background, and you were focusing on the dialogue and the personalities. The black and white made it more clear. We got a picture of what was going on. We were focusing on the characters, and it really brought that laser focus in. And it made it about the people, not necessarily like the blood or the cinematography or the, you know, music. It brought in that focus. And that's what I really liked about the episode. I'm not advocating that they use it all the time, but I thought it was a real unique view on how things worked. And I applaud the creators for doing that in this episode. I'm interested to see what's next. But like I said, the black and white just knocked it out of the park and made things focus so much more. Thanks. Looking forward to hearing the podcast.
All right.
Thanks, Jeff.
Well, thanks, Jeff.
I just want to say the number of times I have heard your voice, I never realized you had such a little Southern drawl.
Yeah, and Jeff, prior to joining the team, he'd been a frequent contributor to many, many Golden Spiral Media podcasts. So I'm very happy both to see him as a podcaster, because I think he's going to really do well, and for contributing to our podcast.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And I have to say, you probably already heard, I totally agree. I love the black and white.
I wonder how I'm going to be once I distance myself from my first watch.
Don't know.
I don't know. Usually I don't have such sharp reactions to things, but like I say, it was probably just my overall emotion for not being there in front of the TV. probably had something to do with it too. Okay, well, we got another voicemail, this time from Robert.
Yay.
Hey, what's up, Brian? What's up, Double R? This is Robert from the Bay calling in with my audio feedback for the first episode of season 6. You know, I did leave some feedback on the Facebook group, and like I said on that, I give it a 7.5 black and white flashback cutaways. For me, it was just okay. You know, this episode was good, but you know, you kind of come to expect some what, you know, oh shit moments on the premiere episodes, as well as the penultimate episodes or even the finales. But for this episode, they didn't really do that. You know, they just kind of gave us some backstory, which is good. You know, they gave us some new characters, which is also good. You know, I did enjoy, I think his name was Heath. He played Dr. Dre in Straight Outta Compton, so I know he's a good actor. But you know, it was just okay. I mean, they did have some comedy. The writers finally wrote some comedy in the dialogue, so that was good. I think they've been missing that over the past one or two seasons. But other than that, you know, we're gonna have to see what they give us for the next 15 episodes. You know, hopefully they'll give us some shocker moments. But anyways, I just want to say I enjoy the podcast. You know, you guys are great. You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts. You guys are definitely at the top. So keep up the good work, Brian. Loving the mixer. And Ruthie. Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia. Okay. If you've never seen Friday, then that is a reference to Friday. And if you've never seen Straight Outta Compton, then you would not know where they got that. So go watch Friday. Go watch Straight Outta Compton. It'll all become clear. That was awesome.
Of course, haven't seen either one. I'm just, it's, you know, tough. When it comes to that, I just didn't get
it. That's funny. Oh, man. Good stuff.
But anyway.
So sad.
And that was for you, Robert, by the way, those sound effects. I have to use the mixer for you. Okay. Well, anyway, that is our voicemail.
Yay!
I hope.
Written.
Yeah. I was just going to say that, you know, I'm hoping that it's the wolves too. So,
huh.
Yeah. So anyway, there was
lots of stuff on our Facebook.
Okay. Malika on Facebook, she said, okay, you know, that has to be Father. And I changed the name, Frackface with the horn. Totally his style. I thought this episode was quite intense and had a lot of meat to it, pun intended. Just so you know, we're kind of a PG rated. We try not to curse too much.
Yeah.
So what about the next one?
I was going to say, before we move on, I was going to say, I'm sure you guys have seen all those little memes of Father Gabriel holding the air horn. I want to help!
I haven't seen it, actually.
Oh, you haven't seen those? Oh, man. They're hilarious.
No, well, yesterday I was off sick, and today, because I was off sick yesterday, I was busy like crazy, so I didn't spend much time looking at memes.
Yeah, cool. Well, as Robert said, he did leave us some written feedback as well as the audio, so we won't repeat what he said here, but please go to our Facebook and check out the thread. You can see what he wrote. It's kind of the same. Anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same.
Yeah. But thank you for also doing double feedback, just in case. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Better to have more than not enough.
So double R.
That's right. That's me.
I love that, by the way.
Okay.
I must use that.
Yeah. Our next bit of feedback is from Judy with two I's. I'm just going to call her double I from now on.
Ah, double I.
She says,
double I from double R.
Yeah, that's right. Two double I from double R. Together we make rrr. She says, OMG, what an opening scene. When the walker plowed through the trucks and his skin ripped off, it was awesome. Rick looks silly with all those band-aids. When Rick and Morgan came up on the pit full of walkers, it looked like all the anthills that have popped up in my yard here in South Carolina after all the rain we've had. Maybe they could just hit them with some home defense? Daryl leading the walkers out was like Daniel leading them in the last episode of Fear, except it's cooler because it's Daryl. Laugh out loud. I agree. It was definitely cooler because it was Daryl. I mean, Daniel's nothing to shake a stick at, but Daryl. Daryl's where it's at.
Well, and the thing was, like, and we talked about this, and I think, was it mentioned on the preview? I forget. But just, we didn't get to see Daniel and his Pied Piper act so much. You know, all we saw was the walkers out of the arena. We didn't actually see him
get them out.
Yeah. But this, we certainly got to see Daryl and Sasha and Abraham leading them. And it was so cool. And you know, the one thing I will say about this episode, even though I didn't rate it as high as some of the other premieres, it was epic.
Yeah.
Definitely epic.
I agree. I really like how they said, I think, what was it, Sasha, who said that Daryl shouldn't have to be by himself white-knuckling it the whole time. I'm like, that's exactly how I would be. I mean, it would be like a white-knuckle grip. I'm like, holy crap, holy crap, holy crap. There's a big, huge, giant herd behind me. Holy crap. The whole way. That's how I would be.
Our next feedback comes from Dieta, who, you know, has been a frequent contributor, and we love you.
Yes.
As a Walking Dead fanatic, I loved it. I love all things apocalyptic. So do I. And so do both of us.
Yeah, me too.
Season 6 is going to be epic. Loved how Rick is getting things done. He has shown the Alexandria group that they are truly not ready for this apocalypse. Amen to that.
Mm-hmm.
Glad they put a chill on the Rick and Jesse thing. Makes sense to me. Yes.
Ditto.
Yes. Ditto. You are so far reading our minds.
I know. It's like we have one brain.
Because Jesse's son, forgot his name, will never forgive or forget Rick killing his father.
True enough.
No way Jesse can be with Rick after that, especially, you know, just an aside, like Fran is going to have these feelings for Rex, it can't. There's no way that she can have a relationship with him. Besides, he has enough to worry about with Carl and Judith. Loved how Maggie shared what happened to Noah with Tara, who was instantly furious with Nicholas, but decided to follow Maggie's lead after she explains why her and Glenn decided not to say anything. Yeah, I thought that was a good moment too, by the way.
I did too. Go on.
The plan to lure the herd of walkers away from the Alexandria area was going so good until that horn started. My guess, it's the wolves. But where did they come from, and how did they know what our group's plan was? That's a good question. What makes me think it could be somebody from Alexandria, but who? The son of Pete or Enid, possibly? But I would think they are that dumb. Morgan doesn't act like he wants to follow Rick's lead. Not sure if him being in the group is good or bad yet. Loved how Rick asked Morgan where he learned his ninja moves from. LOL. Carol doesn't quite trust Morgan. I also get the feeling neither does Michonne. Yeah, I was very curious how she was seen to be lurking every time. I mentioned that earlier, but she always seemed to be lurking around them too. Daryl, Sasha, Abraham, awesome. Love to see our people in action. Next week's episode is going to have a body count.
Yeah.
The downsizing of Alexandria. The black and white flashbacks mixed with the now was a great way to bring us up to speed on what happened after the season 5 finale. Okay. Well, thanks. That was great feedback.
Yeah. I was going to say when Maggie and Tara were talking about Nicholas and she's kind of just saying he's a good person and he, you know, he's seeing the best in people and blah, 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 blah. And my immediate thought was kind of like he did with you.
Yeah.
And then Maggie said that and I was like, yeah, I'm glad that they didn't just forget about that or pretend like something else happened. I don't know. It was neat to see that reference, I guess, is what I thought. So
I thought so too. And very, it's funny how we can let Nicholas back in, but not Gabriel.
Well, I mean, Father Gabriel is much more.
I know.
I mean, for Nicholas, it was a power play. It was a power struggle. And he was basically also just battling his own fear.
Yeah.
But Father Gabriel, he's just out and out horrible person. Yeah, because
rat fake.
They actually went out of their way to help him and save him from the walker while he was up on the rock. Help me, help me, yeah. And he, you know, this is how he repays the kindness. To me, that's a betrayal. And I don't do betrayal. Okay. Like Nicholas, yeah, he was just being
he didn't betray.
Right. He didn't betray them. He didn't try and, you know, make friends with them and then turn around and stab him in the back. Right. He basically was like, I don't like you guys and I'm going to try and take you out. And then Glenn's all, it's not going down like that. And Nicholas is like, oh, okay. But Father Gabriel, I want to help. No. Anyway, moving on. Yeah, just no. There is, for me, there's not very much coming back from betrayal. Just can't happen.
Yeah. And also Rick noticing that Gabriel was burying the bodies, you know, he right away, he walks very quickly over there. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next feedback.
All right. Our next little bit of feedback is from Sophie. She says, just finished a minute ago. Haven't really been able to gather my thoughts yet, but my first thought was that surely someone in Alexandria could make a bomb or 15 to throw in the pit.
Ha!
I don't see the sense in leading them away. The risk is very high, not to mention the risk of them getting led back for some reason. I really hope the body count isn't too great next week. Can't believe Carter died in the first ep, and so glad Rick/Jesse is over for now, at least. Well, I can agree with you about the Rick and Jesse thing.
And I've already expressed it. Definitely. The last bit of feedback we got, we kind of mentioned part of it before, but it was from Kira. She said, I personally did not like the back and forth scenes. My husband and I both agree that it's either Enid or Ron blowing the horn. Mm. And we mentioned this part already, that she also has a nagging feeling that it is Deanna doing it. And I asked her the same question I asked before. It's like, you know, what would she have to gain from that? But she responded, it's just a feeling she had. Maybe to get Rick and the rough ones out so that she has all the power back?
I don't know. I don't think that that would be very wise on her part, because she's basically be luring them back to her, where she, you know, her home. And there, she doesn't have any way of defending against that massive a number. So that, I don't see how it could be her, honestly. I mean, it could be, I could be wrong, but it just, it doesn't make sense. But then again, her character is kind of all over the place, as I previously said. So
if she has, you know, gone insane,
yeah, cuckoo,
then it would make sense. But otherwise, yeah, it doesn't make sense. But I'll tell you, we know so little at this point about Enid and what her story is.
Right. She could be a plant.
She could be. And yes. So, you know, I don't know. I could see it being her if they had a little, what do you call it?
Trojan horse. I don't know what you're.
When you have someone inside.
That's a Trojan horse.
A Trojan horse.
I don't know. I mean, an inside man, that's the only other.
An inside,
I don't know,
man, that's what I was trying to,
okay,
say.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So it's possible, but I don't know.
Double agent.
The only logical thing seems to be either by accident, by just bad coincidences, or that it's the wolves. Mm. So.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll find out next episode very quickly.
I think we will.
All right. So that's it for our feedback.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
So if you want to submit feedback, how would you do so, Ruthie?
I'm so glad you asked, Brian. You can leave us feedback a number of different ways.
How would you do that?
Well, first and foremost, you can go to join our Facebook group. Don't worry, we'll let you in. We just don't have it as a completely open thing, so we can sort of see who's coming in and say hi and all that stuff as they come in. So we'll let you in. Just come on. Come on over to our Facebook group. It's facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. We are also on Twitter and Google Plus. We don't really use those for feedback, though. You can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, and there are multiple ways for us to get your feedback. You can attach an audio file or do the SpeakPipe widget or all different kinds of stuff. Our deadline for feedback is 6 Eastern, 5 Central, the Tuesday after the episode has aired. So whenever there is an episode, you have until that Tuesday. Unless they change the day of the week that the episode airs on, it will always be Tuesday.
I don't think that will happen.
Me either.
Yeah, and it's worth saying, if you haven't, you know, listen to us since the season finale, the Facebook group is now very active, very vital. And, you know, most of the feedback we got this week came from Facebook, and pretty much everyone that did submit feedback, even the voicemails, are active Facebook contributors. So
yeah,
it's great. We love it. And we love being, our days of begging for feedback are over.
Hopefully. That doesn't mean we want you to stop. Don't ever think that we get enough feedback and so you don't have to.
we love hearing from
you.
So
it makes us feel like we're not just talking to ourselves or each other.
Yeah. And even if you just want to say hi, you know, you don't have any specific feedback for us, just, you know, let us know you're listening. That's also helpful. It keeps us going.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, you can, when you see us post to Facebook, you can help get the word out just by simply sharing what we've posted. You know, when you see that we posted an episode, share it on your timeline, share it on other groups that you belong to. The more you can do to get the word out about us, the better. And the other thing, of course, you can do is submit a rating or a review, especially reviews, on iTunes. And you can search for us just by searching for The Walking Dead. You'll find us there. But you can also go to GoldenSpiralMedia/iTunes. And that has a link to all of the Golden Spiral Media podcasts there. So, but anyway,
yep.
And other ways you can support us, like you can go to GoldenSpiralMedia.com/support. Of course, we've mentioned Amazon. I think it's GoldenSpiralMedia.com/Amazon. And the Amazon affiliate link, just look for that extension in Chrome. It's THEFR08-20. Okay, our next episode. And it's funny we mentioned Enid because our next episode is mentioned or was shown in a clip. The title is a very weird title. I'll get to it in a second, but it's JSS. I don't know what it stands for, but in a spoiler clip, so this is a spoiler, I guess. So I guess everything I'm going to say from now is a spoiler. There's a clip that was on Talking Dead, and it had Enid, where she kills a walker that was just outside of a car, and then she goes inside the car and writes on the window JSS. So I guess that's where the title comes from. But what its significance is, I don't know. It is written by Seth Hoffman and directed by Jennifer Lynch, who's the daughter of David Lynch. And she also directed one of my favorite episodes from last season, Spend. That was, of course, the one that Noah didn't survive. The description is, when it appears that things are starting to normalize in the settlement, a new problem arises for the Alexandrians. Hmm. I think I know what that problem is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. All right. So that brings us to the end of our episode. Until next time, I'm Ruthie.
And I'm Brian.
And this is the Walking Dead Talk Through.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.